Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's Sal Capaccio.
I make a special capaccio for you, right?
Jeez. Oh, now that sounds really good.
Oh, you like?
Hey, get away! Get away from my wife with that!
What's the matter, carpaccio, no good?
What? What do you do now?
They don't like a carpaccio.
They like carpaccio.
Oh. On WGR.
I make a carpaccio for you.
Sports Radio 550.
Good morning. It is sunny out. It is a Thursday. We are 1 week out from the NFL draft. The Rockies lost last night. Gotta love that.
What?
Oh, you don't know about my Rockies bet?
No.
Does anyone here know about my Rockies? I think Owen might know about my Rockies bet. Sal Capaccio joining now on the Western Hotline. Yeah, my one baseball rooting interest this year is that the Rockies don't win 58 games.
Well, you should text.
I went under
on
that.
You should text our friend Frank Arcuri about this then.
Well, really, like,
that's his team. That's his misery.
The fun part about the bet is I wake up four times a week feeling good because they're so bad. I might not win the bet, but the Yankees are doing okay, aren't they, Sal, to start the season? They're first.
Yeah, they had a sweep last night of the Royals. Judge hits a home run in the eighth to break the tie. They win it. Bellinger, if you haven't seen it, Cody Bellinger made a great catch to end the game in right field.
They just showed it on SportsCenter, I think, actually, as you just
said.
There you
go. Yeah. You know, it's funny. They lose Juan Soto, and obviously it's devastating, right? No doubt about that. But in a lot of ways, they upgraded some things because Bellinger comes in. They sign him. He plays right field. That allows Judge. Judge is normally a right fielder, but they could put Grisham in left, Bellinger in right, take a little bit off Judge every once in a while because Bellinger can play anywhere. And he made a great catch. So a little less wear and tear on Judge being in center field a lot. Anyway, the point is 11-7, they look good. You know what? Tonight they start a series in Tampa. Now, I was just down there, guys, just got back from vacation yesterday. Mm-hmm. That stadium was damaged by the hurricane in Tampa. So all of their games are at the Yankees spring training home of Steinbrenner Field. So the Yankees are in Tampa tonight at the Yankees spring training home for the next 4 days, which is
smaller than
Salem Field. You know, I mean,
well, like right.
It's a spring training complex. So, yeah. And, a very minor league. It's not AAA. So,
yeah.
Anyway, good morning to you guys. And that Rockies bet I did not know about to you. The Colorado Rockies, by the way.
They're so bad.
They were the first NHL team I ever remember moving.
Oh, like, okay.
And there's been a lot of NHL teams that moved. You guys know who the Rockies became?
They're the Devils.
The Devils.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Rockies,
they were the first
Devils
team I ever remember actually moving in the NHL.
Yeah. Sal Capaccio now on the Western Hotline.
That clip. The Devils.
How was Tampa? It was a perfect time of year weather-wise, isn't it, to go down there?
Yeah, it was great. So, we have family down there. My mother-in-law lives in Venice, which is a little south of Tampa. That's where we were for the first day.
Mm-hmm.
Then we drove up to Orlando, and We were going to do Disney. We haven't done Disney in a while, but you know, we're not like these huge Disney family, but we wouldn't mind going. But man, holy cow, the prices at Disney.
Oh, they are insane. I'll get to that later, maybe. It's crazy.
Yeah, so we looked into it a little bit, and I said, you know what, let's do that. We'll do that another time. We can kind of plan it out a little bit more and not just haphazardly go about it. But we went to Legoland, and we've done that. And Max is still at the age where Legoland's cool. It's cool for me. You know, I'm 52, yeah. Right? So, and the wait lines are not bad at all, and it's a lot cheaper. It's really cool. A great water park. We did that. Then we drove to Tampa. We went to the Sabres game in Tampa Sunday night. Well, that was nice when they were up 2-1 at the end of the first period. I'll tell you this, guys. They do it right now. It's a lot easier when it's, you know, warm out and year-round like that. They have a really great atmosphere outside the arena and inside the arena, but like, you know, you get like a party in the plaza type vibes from what the Sabres years ago, but it's even more so. Like, they have games for the kids, a whole bunch of stuff. They have a band and music, I should say, a DJ. They have a bar right out there. It's really cool. And, you know, that was a really cool experience. And we had done that before, but, you know, you go early to the games, you hang out in the parking lot. They're not the parking lot, the plaza there. That was cool. And then, you know, go inside the game. They have a really nice atmosphere inside the game as well. You know, obviously it was frustrating with the end result for the game. Yeah, and then we went back down to where my mother-in-law lives and spent a couple of days in Venice and got some sunshine.
Nice. I was seeing a clip of the Bruins-Sabre series from 15 years ago, 14 years ago, yesterday, and the party in the plaza just looked like a mob of people, like, under a pavilion.
Yeah.
And that was pretty much it. But it was a great time. But, right, like, if they ever do get in, we can have that conversation. Like, can we get a band in there? Can we get some activities? Because when I did a fan village at the World Cup of Hockey, I think it's like what you were talking about. Like, there were games everywhere, and hey, see how fast your slap shot is.
Yep.
Or there's a target practice thing, and that was really cool, especially for the kids, right? Like, that's a really cool thing for the kids. So
yeah, they have a thing called I can't remember the pro deke. I don't remember it, but it's like a little thing of, it's kind of like synthetic ice basically, and it's a cool game.
Yeah.
And Max did it, but it was a cool game where all the kids did it. I did it too. I mean, to adults too. And they literally, like, there's a red dot and you got to put the puck over it, and it's just back and forth. And where you see the red dot, you get 45 seconds to see how many you can get. Then they had that inside the actual arena too. During intermissions, you can go and play that same game. They had things like that. So the scoreboard, obviously we have a great scoreboard here now in Buffalo as they, you know, redid it, but it's just the arena itself. Now, I got to tell you, I had gone to games years ago in Tampa, and it's still frustrating to me because I have this thing in my mind where I just don't think that they, like, the crowd is kind of a, it's a front-running crowd, right? I mean, like, sure. it's hockey in Tampa, and yes, they've won cups, and they are happy about that, but I don't think they're true hockey fans and people. And maybe I'm just being a little bit, you know, begrudging of their, you know, winning, you know, and jealous, and there's no doubt about that. But you look and say, man, they have, this is a great atmosphere. How come they get this? We deserve this in Buffalo. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's tough to have that tested too down there when they haven't had a bad season in like 30 years. When was the last time they've had a bad season? It's been a while.
Yeah, that's right.
Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. We're 1 week from the draft, catching back up with Sal. And you did a mock draft special, the simulator with Matt Bove, and it's always game day in Buffalo. How are you thinking about the draft? Are you thinking any differently about it than when we would have last spoken to you? I heard you on, I don't know if you said this with us too, but I definitely heard you with Chopin Bulldog one of the last days you were on before you went down to Florida, that you think top three picks very likely to be defense. Are you still feeling that that's very likely for the Bills?
Yeah, in fact, what I said, and I'll say it again, is at this point I'd be surprised if it's anything other than defense, the first three picks. Now, we don't know the Bills board, and I always say, like, sure, the Bills could really fall in love with a wide receiver that he happens to drop. They take him. I don't mean first round, though. I think I find that very hard to see. I mean, if he's that good, I think another team would grab a guy who's falling like that, you know, wide receiver. So I'm thinking even second round that could happen. But just taking that out of the equation, I'd be really surprised if it's anything but defense. Now, that's assuming they stay where they are or relatively similar to where they are, Joe, right? If they trade back and all of a sudden they have three picks, but the third one isn't till mid-third round, you know, I think things could change. That's when maybe they say, okay, we're going to evaluate wide receiver here. What did it look like elsewhere? Otherwise, before that. So my thought is yes. Given where they are right now, where they are slotted to pick, if they pick in that general area for their first three selections, I think it's all defense. I don't think they draft offense until at least day number three, early on, maybe like third, fourth round. Like I said, third round would be day number two if they get there. And I think at this point, I think it's mostly more likely to go heavy on the defensive line and then secondary, especially corner. I don't think you're getting two secondary players versus one D lineman. I think it's the other way. I think it's two D linemen versus one secondary player, most likely corner. I've never been on the safety thing. You know, a lot of people, I think they will draft a safety. I just don't think that they're looking to draft one early on. Again, could circumstance dictate because they really love a guy and he starts to fall? Sure. But I think the way the roster is constructed, the way that they've talked, to me it points to they're going to draft a couple of defensive linemen and a cornerback out of their first three picks if they stay near where they are.
Yeah, we've talked about how on offense there just isn't really a need anywhere but maybe for one more receiver. And it's interesting, like I don't know how much you track their top 30 visits and how meaningful that is, but they have had, I think this is still true, unless there's been a couple more that have changed this. They've had more receivers on visits than any other position. But if you look at who they are, they're almost all day three guys. Like they had a couple, like Isaiah Bond when they had him in, and they met with him at the combine too. Like he's someone that's been projected for round two. That was before he had this sexual assault case, I should mention. And maybe there was like one other day two guy. But a lot of day three, and that's probably likely, isn't it, to you, Sal, that like a round four pick, a round five pick, they're visiting with all these day three receivers, who, by the way, all run sub 4.4. It almost feels like they're specifically looking for a very specific type of receiver on a specific day of the draft. And they're not really, to my eyes, like there's no Luther Burden visit. Right, there's no Tet McMillan visit. Like, there's nobody that I've seen them connected to that would be like a round one or an early round two receiver.
I agree with that, and I think you make a really good point. And I think that's a great trail of breadcrumbs that you're leaving right there, which is what you can figure out about what they're looking for and how that fits into the draft. So, specific type of receiver, you bring those guys in. They're not these highly regarded day one guys. So, to me, I go back to what the Bills have said, which is, yeah, speed is great, but you want to make sure you draft a football player. So what's the reason why bringing in these guys, Joe, at this point, which is they're fast. Let's see if they're football players. Let's see what they know on the board and can do, and let's talk to them. Let's, you know, have them come in for visits and do everything we can do with them here. I think they're trying to find that, you know, particular player that they feel they're comfortable with, maybe drafting on day number three. I mean, because it's easy if it's a round one guy and you've seen him and you've done the work on him and you've been watching him all year and you've gone to the senior bowls or the combines or whatever, and you can do that. Now, you can do it with other guys, but they're a little bit less heralded, so you want to make sure you're doing a little bit more homework maybe if you're looking for that specific guy, but he also has these other traits that you think are very important. And here's the reason why I also give you the, you know, D lineman cornerback thing, because I just pay attention to kind of how the Bills have talked and what the roster looks like, okay? Let's just go back to, this is my reasoning about why I really think, you know, logically, you could take steps and be a detective here, okay? Mm-hmm. What did Brandon Bean say when Larry Ogunjobi was suspended? Why did they still, well, you guys tell me, why did they still sign Larry Ogunjobi even after the suspension? What did Brandon Bean say?
Well, what I remember is he made a comment about how at that point, they, like some of the other names they could have gone after were gone. Right, so the market wasn't the same as when they had decided they were going to sign him in the first place.
There were no other options, right?
Right.
Like, there were really no other options. Yeah. So what does that tell you? So that tells you, okay, there's nobody really out there as a veteran defensive tackle that they like. They told you that. They said it to themselves. There's no other options. That's why we stayed with Larry Ogunjobi. Well, right now then, you have Ed Oliver, Daquan Jones, Dwayne Carter, and Larry Ogunjobi is suspended for six games. Zion Logan, Branson Dean are on the roster. We're not going to count them because they're not really going to be counted on, I think, to be on the 53-man roster at this point. I mean, they kind of told you themselves that since that's the route that they couldn't go. So that tells me they're going to be looking heavy very early to get a guy that can make more of an impact right away at that position just by their own, you know, way that they've spoken about that. Okay, on top of that, who did they have in for a visit yesterday? Bradbury, right? Or reportedly, he's visiting at some point. Yeah. The cornerback, a veteran corner. There's other veteran corners still out there. I think that corner, they're telling you that, that, you know, by their own actions, that corner's a position where they could probably sign another guy. They signed Dane Jackson. They do have Christian Benford still on the roster, obviously, extension. They still have Jamarcus Ingram. I think even though you're still light there and you're looking for more, to me, it feels like they've kind of acted and even said that they're a little more comfortable at that spot where they don't need the immediate guy, but sure, they need help versus defensive tackle, where I think they got to get one immediately that's got to help this team. Does all that make sense?
It does make sense. Sal Capaccio joining us on the Western Hotline. Sal, I do think there's a little bit of good fortune, though, in this as well. The Bills, one of their biggest needs is a one-technique defensive tackle.
Yes.
And this draft class is deep in the big boys this year, from Kenneth Grant in round one as a favorite prospect there, to guys like Darius Alexander or Alfred Collins or Deion Walker in round two or something of the like there. So it does benefit the Bills a little bit. Like, if they don't get one of those guys in round one, or there's a luxury pick, so to say, quote unquote, like a Luther Burden falls in round one and the Bills are there at 30 and they just shrug their shoulders and take him, for example. It does look like, though, that defensive tackle is not just deep where you can get a starter in round three this year, but exactly where they need it at the one technique.
Agreed 100% on all those points, Derek, which are, A, the need for that is certainly there, I think, for them. I think the Bills are looking to not replace but upgrade and help out the Daquan Jones spot. Really, that's Daquan Jones' spot, but he's getting a little older, obviously. He came off the injury last year. He didn't have quite the same year, and that also impacted Ed Oliver. I think you really need someone next to Ed Oliver who can be that one technique, that penetrating guy. That's, you know, again, I want to remind people who don't know, just in case you don't, one technique is a guy who generally plays more of a nose tackle, a little shaded over. He's over the guard a little bit more. Three technique is a guy that's a little bit more over the, between the guard and the tackle, more, you know, so just outside. So the lower the number, the more closer he is to the interior and the middle of the defensive line. So everybody gets an idea. So you need bigger guys there. You need stout guys. You need guys who can really hold up against the run, but also be able to penetrate. And I agree with you that they would look for that. And I also agree with you, Derek, that this draft seems like it has more of those kinds of guys. And that's obviously the best thing to have when you have need meets value, right? When you have need that meets depth of the draft and how it all looks, I agree with you there. I like Derek Harmon a lot. I like Tyleek Williams. I think these are guys that could fit that type of player. Walter Nolan, obviously. But we don't know where these guys, and we're talking, look at these guys. You know, now, look, some of them are a little bit shy of 300, and that's not ideal necessarily, right? Like, but the game is played a little bit differently too, and these guys are such freak athletes that I don't think you have to have a 330-pounder there anymore. But sure, if you can go out and get Derek Harmon at 6'4.5", 313, you know, or Kenneth Grant at 331, right? Let's give you some example. Obviously, you know, you're getting a bigger body guy. So I don't think it has to be the body or weight necessarily, but I do think they want to look for power and a little and some length right there.
There also is, say, like there's a filling a need just by, you know, how we usually do this is we look at the depth chart and we look at roles and we say, okay, what don't they really have? What could they use an upgrade on? They're also, you could file underneath like the Bills wanting to be better at a certain thing. Like Jeremy mentioned yesterday when we were talking about Jacob Parrish, corner from Kansas State. I think he's a round two guy the Bills had on a visit earlier in the week. And Jeremy mentioned about like the third down defense, like how the Bills were very bad last year at third down defense, and like how might they want to attack that and get better at that? That you can go beyond just, oh, they need this, this, and this on the depth chart. How do they want to accomplish that goal? Parrish, Joe Marino said, is like man coverage. You know, he's going to be kind of a weird fit for the Bills if he were to ever be their round two pick. Because it's almost sounded kind of like Elam. Like, he's got to learn some nuances of a Bills system that he didn't experience in college. I wonder to you, though, not even on him specifically, like third down defense or certain situational things that you think the Bills want to get better at in this draft and maybe what they've already accomplished, right? Like, is Michael Hoyt, like, in our minds right now is an answer to what we're talking about? Like, that's not even find a spot for him in the depth chart. It's more he's someone that you would think would help them on like third downs or in other specific situations.
I do. I think that the Bills really would like to be able to match up a little bit better this year, right, than they were last year. Maybe, you know, this could be a Matt Milano point too, right? If Matt Milano was healthier all year, if he was there, mm-hmm. then maybe you have an ability to use Dorian Williams a little bit more, right? You know what I mean? A little bit different. You have an extra linebacker there, right? I mean, let's remember, it's not just Dorian Williams filling in for Matt Milano. It's what can you do when you go and maybe you need a third linebacker and you have to take Taron Johnson off the field. We've said this many times. Nobody loves to see Taron Johnson off the field. We understand that. But there are circumstances that dictate sometimes you might have to do that. So I think that could be something. And that's not necessarily third down, but that could be third and two, right? Like they're bringing in. It's not even down and distance a lot. It's really matching up personnel. I think the Bills want to match up personnel better. I think that's where Michael Hoyt definitely comes in, that you bring him up, which is now you have an ability to say, okay, against this team, they like to go and run more three tight ends. We can use him here, or we're not going to use him this game as much. We could use him on the edge in this game. I think that's where that goes. I wonder about big nickel, right? The Bills have not really had mm-hmm. that true big nickel guy in a few years. And that's something maybe the Bills want to get back to. With Sean mm-hmm. McDermott, something that was very successful him in Carolina when he was a coach there. So maybe that's something. And then, you know, there's a talk. We had a lot of this talk at the beginning of the offseason, guys. We haven't talked about it as much with the coaching staff changes, which do they want to play more man-to-man this year? And I don't know. I don't. Mm-hmm. I think maybe, admittedly, even me. Like, I think we all made a little too much about that because they bring over Mike Pellegrino from the Patriots system. He was very much more well versed in it, and Ryan Nielsen, who's been more well versed in it. And I do think there's an element of we need to go to that a little bit more. There's no more, you know. But I don't think that it's something like some whole philosophical change are going to play it a ton.
Yeah. Well, and that is something that personnel dictates too, right, Sal? Like, I'm thinking last year in the Chief game, I think McDermott even spoke about how they wanted to play more man coverage as that game went on. But did they really have the personnel at the end of the day to execute it? There was what I think the touchdown the Chiefs would have seen, okay, they're in man here, and they figured out a way to get Xavier Worthy on Damar Hamlin. And like that's just a matchup you're never going to win. And Hamlin is someone this year that we don't think would be on the field in those spots other than injury. So maybe that's Bishop growth, or you just mentioned the big nickel idea. I'm just thinking a lot about what they want to be on defense, because haven't we kind of had the same thought about what they are for years and years? And maybe that changes. Maybe their normal tendencies of two deep safeties, and Taron Johnson is always on the field. You just brought that up. Maybe it looks more different this year than it ever has.
Yeah, a guy that I know that Ryan Talbot is really great at reporting the visits, as you guys know, mm-hmm. At Syracuse.com. He does the Shout podcast with Matt Parrino. Ryan's always been great at reporting visits. I think he had Darian Porter is visiting, right? I think that's also a visitor, the cornerback.
Yes.
I'm a big Darian Porter guy, meaning like what he brings, the type of like athleticism and length that he has.
He's
like,
six four.
Yeah. And he's fast. I think he ran sub 4.4, I believe. So like those are the kinds of guys. In fact, if you guys remember, I really believed the Bills would love a guy like Tariq Woolen when he came out. Like I was on like, oh my God, this is the perfect guy for the Bills. He's got all these traits. The Bills love these freak athletes at a lot of these places, right? Look at the tackles they've drafted, right? Including Tommy Doyle, is no longer obviously playing because of the injury, but Tommy Doyle with Spencer Brown, obviously. And then you look at the other side of the ball and, you know, Greg Rousseau, Tremaine Edmonds, Josh Allen. Like they go for a lot of these freakish kind of guys that have these athletic traits. Like Tariq Woolen screamed that to me. Well, Lance Zierlein in his NFL profiles, he compares his comp, Darian Porter, to Tariq Woolen. Like, that's the kind of guy he is. And he says, hey, you can, and he's a zone guy, but he has the ability to play man. I mean, that to me is, okay, that to me, there's your kind of guy that you can bring mm-hmm. in. And if you think highly enough of him, maybe he rises to, I don't know if he's a number 30 pick, but is that your second rounder, right? So do think maybe that's the kind of guy that they would look at. But again, I thought they would think that about Tariq Woolen. They didn't. They had a few chances to draft him. They didn't. And Tariq Woolen became a really good NFL player, obviously.
Yeah, this is a very interesting player you bring up, because I don't think we've mentioned him. And right, there's a visit there. Porter, at the combine, he was 6'3". He was listed at 6'3". He ran a 4.30. Mm-hmm. As you mentioned, so super fast 40. He was a 6-year senior, so he is older. Like, he played college football with Brock Purdy at Iowa State.
I love that.
So he's been around.
You know, Joe, it's so funny. It's a great point. I think this is a good discussion, you know, just kind of more of a in-the-weeds discussion about these players and these older players. You're getting a lot more of that now because of the COVID year really is a big deal. The medical red shirts that a lot of guys are getting granted now, the transfer portal, and, you know, sitting out a year if guys do that or anything. There's a lot of reasons now for this happening. And NIL, obviously, guys staying in school for another year. And I thought, you know, in last year, I was surprised the Bills drafted a running back who was already 25 years old, Ray Davis. Ray Davis is 25 years old.
Right.
And he's like a little bit younger than James Cook, I believe. I have to look that up again. But
it's like by two weeks.
Yeah, my point is, though, like, I think in years past, I would say, I don't know if they're going to go for a guy like that. I don't think that's the case anymore. I think it's just the way college football and transitioning to the NFL is these days, where you can't be as choosy to say, well, that guy's a little bit too old for me. But that's a really good point you bring up. And I wonder about how that has changed over the years for the Bills and everybody else.
Definitely. Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. Sal, I want to wrap with this with you. Non-Bills. Yeah. While you were gone, there was Taron Armstead retiring in Miami. And I think that was while you were away, because that was over the last week. And the GM yesterday, day before, now they're going to move Jalen Ramsey. They're not going to move Tyreek Hill, but there's another police thing with him. How do you think of the Dolphins right now and their offseason? And the idea that this term was placed on the Bills, and it to me was always nonsense because of Allen, the quarterback, just being different in this way. But now I'm seeing lobbed at the Dolphins, okay, the same thing. The window is closed. But I kind of view that as like a real take now compared to what we heard when we heard it about the Bills last year.
Yeah, I thought last year their window might have started to close, but that was because I thought maybe Tua wouldn't stay healthy the whole year. And I felt if Tua doesn't stay healthy, they're just done. Like, and I don't know how they're going to recover because they were already getting older. And they lost a lot of guys last year, actually, if you remember, Joe. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's why they went out and signed like a Jordan Poyer, right? But they lost guys, and they had guys coming off major injuries. And, you know, Chubb and Jalen Phillips. Now, I think it's even further. Here's what I think about the Dolphins, and I agree. I tweeted the other day a couple poolside thoughts. Number one was what we just talked about, the draft. I think it's heavy defense. Number two is I think the Patriots are the second best team in the division this year. They finished second. And part of the reason is I think the Patriots will be better. They'll be around a 500 team. Maybe they win. Maybe they're over that. Maybe they're slightly under that. Whatever. Part of it is because I think the Dolphins and the Jets are just kind of in full rebuild mode, it seems like, what they're trying to accomplish, but maybe they're finally doing it right. Where the Dolphins, to me, the way I view the Dolphins, they can't figure out themselves what they want to be, right? Like, it seems like they're caught in between, do we want to win or do we want to rebuild? And they're middling it so bad, and when they make their decision, it's too late. Like, what are you doing now? Shouldn't this with Jalen Ramsey have been kind of cleared up a long time ago, earlier this offseason?
How about before they had to pay him a $4 million roster bonus that's on their books now, right, no matter what? How about doing it before then?
That's exactly right. I would guess they would think Taron Armstead, you know, knowing his situation, but you have to kind of plan for that. You have to be on top of these things. It just seems to me like they're almost late to their own party, essentially.
Yeah.
Right? If that makes sense. And I think that they're playing catch up on themselves, and they're caught in this space where they want to win, but they don't really have the ability to do it, and they haven't decided to go the other way, and that's never a good spot to be in. I think you kind of have to know who you are. I'm not Tank guy. You know that. Even discussion for another day. Like, I never loved the Tank for Eichel, McDavid. Like, it's just not. I don't think that's the way to go in. I get it, why teams do it, but I do think you need to know who you are. And I think, like, the Jets, for example, know who they are. And the Jets are rebuilding, and that's okay, because they're not trying to lose games, but they understand that they have to kind of build it a different way this time. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think the Dolphins should be there, but they're not, and they're trying to win. They're not going to be able to do that either.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree with literally everything. Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. Always game day in Buffalo. The mock draft simulator yesterday.
Yes.
So make sure to check that out. Picking at 30,
we simulated it, and then we got to pick 30, and then we talked about it. And we had some trade opportunities. We also have a very good question that I threw out there. I tweeted it yesterday about what's the longest light that you sit at in Western New York, if you have one, or a series of lights, because in Florida, God, I felt like I was. I felt like my life was just, you know what, now I know why people retire down here. They just sit at these lights all the time, and by the time that the light changes, they've bought a house down here. Oh, my God.
I have a good answer for this. Be sure to check it out. Thank you, Sal.
You got it, guys.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. Of course, the Mike North conversation, too, on the schedule. At least bookmark that for when we talk all-in schedule in the month of May, which is coming up in a couple of weeks. The draft 1 week from today. Some reaction to what Sal just had laid out there about, you know, I like the conversation about older prospects, and this Porter that the Bills had in for a visit is a super interesting player. So if you got a guy for the draft that you're thinking about, feel free to chime in at 803-0550. Lou DiBiase coming up at 8:30, a little on James Bradbury. So lots of Bills coming your way. Derek Kramer's in for Jeremy today, and this is WGR.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed's sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
I could go through a million names of guys that were picked later in the draft that maybe at the time it was like, okay, they didn't really need a corner, but they drafted this safety corner from Louisiana Tech, and then L'Jarius Sneed becomes an all-pro. So I think far too often we, and this is including myself, can get so enthralled with round one and what do teams need to do, and they need a defensive tackle or they need a corner, when I do think in a vacuum or in a perfect world, literally just picking the best available player is actually the best way to go about it, because as we know, rosters change so quickly in today's NFL.
Chris Trapasso from CBS Sports on with Chopin Bulldog yesterday. That's a good point. Not just to do best available in without any context, right? Because if the best available player is a running back for the Bills in the first round, they should not draft a running back. If the best player available is a quarterback, they should not draft a quarterback because they don't need a quarterback. There has to be some need. There has
context
to be some,
always matters.
Some plan for the player to be on the field. If the best, and this is a great offensive tackle draft, right? If the best player available, the number one player, when the Bills are on the clock at 30, is an offensive tackle, they absolutely should not draft an offensive tackle. Why? Because that guy's not going to have any opportunity to play without injury for
a couple years at least.
How long are Dawkins and Brown going to be their tackles? They're both under contract. It's going to be 3 years minimum.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, Brown took a huge step last year. Like, he's like one of the top right tackles in the league now, maybe, and just signed an extension. So you're not doing that. But there is a point in there about how your team's changing. And I had this thought about the Bills on offense. Sal just mentioned how he doesn't think offense in either any of the first three picks. I think that's more likely to be the case, that the Bills will not draft an offensive player in the first three picks. If they do, it's a receiver at the end of the second round. And that's probably it. It's the only thing that I could really foresee. Like, them picking a running back in the second round, even, like, no. Guard, I guess, but even the guard doesn't have much opportunity to play.
Not really,
this
no.
year. So there's that. But think about where the Bills are with Joe Brady and how the offense, it really worked last year, and Brady's plan to be more of a yak team and shorter passing game, not turning the ball over, really getting the run game going as well as it ever has with Josh Allen as their quarterback. All of that worked. One more year like that and he's gone. Right? Like, this is very likely the last year of Joe Brady as the Bills offensive coordinator. It's a very good chance of that.
Unless he just wants to stay here.
But that they want to be coaches.
And yeah,
they all want to be head coaches.
It's a 1-in-32 in the entire world position.
Right. So the guy that was from here wanted to go be a head coach somewhere else. Dable left. So if that happens, another offensive coordinator comes in, and he's going to have his own idea what works and what he wants. I mean, he might be a guy that loves two tight ends and loves 12 personnel, or maybe he's the opposite. Maybe he likes to spread it out and downfield passing game. And Trapasso's point there about you're drafting a guy now, but it's going to be a four-year rookie contract. Mm-hmm. And likely, whoever you pick, you know, Babich, this could be an answer, too. Babich, you know, if he's young enough, and if the Bills' defense has, like, an elite season, then maybe he starts to get on the radar for head coaching jobs. And even if the guys stay in place, the game's always evolving.
Yeah.
The game's always evolving. It's always morphing. I mean, teams weren't running the ball like this 5 years ago.
No.
Teams weren't checking the ball down like this and throwing short 5 years ago. Everyone was going over the top.
And that is because defenses adjusted to that.
Right? And now defenses will adjust to what is happening now, right? Like,
yeah,
teams are going to look at the Bills. This actually kind of already happened. The Bills, if you have this idea that last year, part of the reason why it worked so well, yards after catch and short stuff, was defenses were backed up because they were afraid of Josh Allen. That's not really what happened. The Bills saw one of the lowest rates of two high safeties in the league last season. It's actually kind of incredible. They were so good and efficient without much of a threat of a downfield pass game. Allen was like 26th in efficiency, and I mean, Coleman and Hollins had a couple, but there wasn't this influx of speed at any point down the field, and yet they still found a way to get the screen game working and the run game was efficient. So how's the defense going to adjust to them? This is kind of all baked into Trapasso's point, though, of don't just stare at the depth chart. Stare at situations.
Yep.
Where do you want to be better? Where do you want to be versatile? And for me, on the offense, there's only one thing. It's just downfield passing.
That's the only thing you need to really improve on offensively, because you have one of the best offensive lines in the NFL. James Cook, very likely to play out the last year of his contract here. And then we'll see what happens. That's all the James Cook talk. That's next year's problem. Punt on the
unless
whole
he makes,
thing.
Unless he makes it ugly.
I don't expect him to.
I think you're probably right.
Don't expect him to.
Yeah.
So pretty much it's, we'll talk about this again next year. Obviously, you have one of the best quarterbacks in the entire league.
Mm-hmm.
You have the MVP, as a matter of fact. The one thing that you can get better at is having that downfield vertical threat. And even then, the team showed that they can thrive without it anyway.
Yeah.
But you look at the receivers that they've had in, there's a pattern. And it's more of hints. Sal's mentioned, you and Jeremy have mentioned. They're kind of hinting at what type of receiver they're looking at when they're looking at them.
They're all sub 4.4
They're all sub 4, yeah. And they're also late day 2 guys, a lot of them typically that are.
And even day 3.
And day 3.
They had a guy in on Tuesday, the name Ole Miss receiver Jordan Watkins.
Mm-hmm.
He ran a 4.37.
Yeah.
They had him in on a visit. He's projected around, it's around 6.
They have an idea of what kind of receiver they want this year. And they know where they're probably going to be aiming for that.
Yep.
That said, what if Luther Burden is there at 30?
I love thinking about Luther Burden.
Let's have a discussion.
I love thinking about Luther Burden.
Because Luther Burden is a player that you look at and go, yeah, that might be a luxury pick. But
it really isn't, though.
But also
really,
consider.
I don't consider it a luxury pick. I mean, it is in terms of how good the offense was last year.
Yes.
But Luther Burden.
It's more of a luxury pick based on. The Bills do have some more drastic needs than a wide receiver, but it's not like there's not a need at wide receiver.
But it even
and
like
Burden could do everything.
That's still kind of staring at the position, and I understand that. I do it too. But Burden, you know where there's a need for a Burden? The need on the team is they don't have a receiver that beats man coverage. They don't have one.
They don't have a receiver that beats man coverage.
And he does.
And not only that, he plays on the outside. He can play in the slot if needed. He is a downfield threat capable player. He kind of puts it all together in a package. And now there's the mystifying question of why? Why are there reports that he might be available in round 2? What is going on here?
Well,
and I don't know if its teams are really just looking at, oh, he didn't play well last year in Missouri. Okay.
That's probably a lot of it because he
if
was on track to be a top 15 pick before last season.
If that's the case, then I think GMs have jumped the shark on what it actually means to have the traits of a player.
Yeah,
and the Bills should take advantage of that.
He went down from 1,200 yards to 600 yards.
I also think it's
without
because,
only playing one fewer game. I mean, are we about to say the same thing?
Well, also,
the quarterback stunk.
Yeah. I'm going more on safety's also a viable option here if the caliber of player is there. If Starks or Emin Warrior are available at 30, I'll tell you, the cliff from safeties is precipitous after those two. And Xavier Watts in particular, compared to their needs.
Yeah, we'll talk about this more at 8, about because you just brought up safety, too. Like, the idea that needs you want to see the Bills fix or fill that aren't just positional. You know, whether that's run defense. I've defended their run defense. I think they were better last year than people think. But there's been complaints about the run defense from fans for years
about this team.
Whether that is man coverage on defense, right? Like I brought up with Sal, Hamlin getting put in a spot. Reed did this. I mean, this is the Chiefs knowing they're smart and they know how to trap you. They see that the Bills are in man coverage and they move Worthy to get him on DeMar Hamlin.
Can I get a
and that's the
can
game,
I get a center,
game over?
Can I get that center fielder safety?
Right. And what need is that filling? It's not necessarily filling a need at safety, but it could be filling a need for more man coverage versatility, more personnel
rangy,
packages.
Rangy, deep man.
Right. So maybe kind of, you know, think more, less about the position. Maybe that's man coverage beating on the offense. Maybe that's short yardage. You know, we talked about Savion Williams from TCU. Wildcat. I don't think that's much of a need, but these other
possible
ways of thinking about needs that they have that isn't just what position do guys play. 803-0550 is the phone number. When we come back, we'll get to building Saber strategy. Got that for you when we come back on the final day of the Buffalo Sabres regular season. And then I want to get to this need conversation more about the Bills and the draft 1 week out at 8 o'clock. That's all coming up. 803-0550, the phone number. Jody Biasi, Derek Kramer. This is WGR.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapper jacks.
Those aren't even the words. I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Otani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, welcome back. Time for Building a Better Saber Strategy, presented by SalesRebel.ai. Build better strategies, visit SalesRebel.ai today to learn more. Bo Byram entering a contract year, RFA at least, at the end of the season. With and without Rasmus Dahlin, he is 70% goals for with Dahlin, 47% without. Expected goals, 55% with Dahlin, 43% without. When he's on the ice, scoring chances, the Sabres get 52% with Dahlin, 43% without. You get the picture. Everything is worse without Rasmus Dahlin for Bo Byram. So my better strategy would be do not be fooled by his play with Dahlin to sign him to some monster contract extension.
You already had this lesson hit you before with Matias Samuelsson.
Yep. And I think the Sabres might know this because they've been playing him without Dahlin for like a month and a half now. So they've been seeing it, and it hasn't been going as well. Not to say he's useless, but he also doesn't sound to me like someone that is ready to stay long-term. Paul asks him a lot, or he's asked him a couple times about staying, and he doesn't sound ever like he doesn't jump at it. Like, very easy way to answer that question to leave yourself open to it. And I just don't ever get the sense that he's wanting to stay.
I mean, hockey players do give diplomatic answers, but you know, yeah, I do get what you're saying, though.
When we come back, the Bills need in the draft that isn't positional. Get more into that discussion as we're a week out. Jody Biasi and Derek Kramer. Jeremy's out today. This is WGR.
I'm
Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.